know, last week we had a couple of technical difficulties, and if you couldn't hang with us last week through those, I hope at least you will go back and read the scripture, which was assigned for last Sunday, which comes from Matthew's Gospel, the 10th chapter. In Matthew's Gospel, there are five different discourses or speeches or sermons that Jesus gives, really collections of sayings. This we're reading last week, this week, and next week from the second of those five, which is normally by those who study scripture often called the missionary discourse, in which we understand that Jesus gives us directions about who we are to be and how we are sent into the world. It feels like an impossible task. Jesus takes his disciples, those who have followed him, and he literally sends them, so they become apostles. The literal meaning of the apostle is to be sent into the world. And he says, I'm sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves, therefore be innocent as doves, wise as serpents. What we read today is a continuation of that missionary discourse, and today I'll start reading at Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, Jesus speaking first to his disciples and then today to us. Jesus said, a disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So, have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, and even the hairs of your head are not all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven, but whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know how that television series turned movie franchise Mission Impossible always begins? Begins with the lead hero in Mission Impossible, Ethan Hunt, always minding his business. He's leading his own life. He's on a jet going somewhere very cool for a vacation when all of a sudden, out of the blue, he receives an urgent, secret message explaining that the balance of life on this planet and the cause of truth and justice in the world is in great peril. And so Ethan is invited to change his plans, rearrange his life, and put himself into harm's way in order to accomplish the mission to which he is invited to accept. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is the way the invitation always comes. And always then, the message, having been received by Ethan Hunt, self-destructs, so that Ethan must do all that has been asked of him from memory, making it up as he goes along. I've never seen a movie where he gets the chance to push rewind and listen again. There is no such thing as for assistance, press 1. For the choice of another mission, press 2. It's just, this is your mission, should you choose to accept it. And last week, we read Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 10:16. And again, I know the technical difficulties made it hard to watch. So if you didn't stick with us, go back and read that scripture. It's sobering. What we learned is that Jesus sends his disciples out into the world in a spirit of compassion. And that our mission as disciples of Jesus, should we choose to accept it, is to proclaim the kingdom of heaven and to love and to live that kingdom by healing the world, curing lepers, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind. Jesus sends out his disciples on that mission, requiring complete trust in God to provide what we need. There's no disclaimer about a retirement plan. There are no hotels booked in advance. No contingency plans. No AAA maps. We are, he says, to be in the world like sheep in the midst of wolves. Wise as serpents. Innocent as doves. Sounds like an impossible mission. And this week in Matthew's gospel, Jesus continues these mission impossible instructions, and he leaves us absolutely no doubt that our ultimate fate depends on whether or not we will accept this mission. Our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to live as Jesus lived, to love as Jesus loved, to heal as Jesus healed, and to challenge as Jesus challenged any who claim that the ultimate allegiance that belongs only to God belongs somewhere else. Jesus sends us out on a mission that will require us to be ready to rearrange our lives, to suffer, to put ourselves in harm's way, to be rejected, to face conflict, even death and division, on account of the mission to which we have been called. So to accept this mission that's given to disciples of Jesus is to put ourselves in harm's way for the salvation of the planet and for the purposes of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says in the passage we read today, well, if they called me the devil, don't be surprised that they're going to malign you as well. And then he says, but we are not to fear. We are not to fear those who malign or threaten our life here on earth. We are to fear God more than we fear those who can physically hurt us. And a biblical fear of God, as it comes right here from Matthew's gospel, a biblical holy fear of God is always set in the context of God's unbounded, unfathomable love for us. And Jesus says, even the hairs on your head are counted. Think about that. And as much as God cares for all of the sparrows, even more so does God care for us. So we are to take care to fear God, not those who threaten our physical existence. And the God that we fear is uncompromising and ultimate love itself. That is the God that we are to fear. And that God is the God who is Lord over both our physical and our eternal destinies. And And our ultimate allegiance is to be given only to that God. And then Jesus reminds us of, frankly, what we don't want to remember. That when we give ultimate allegiance to God alone, it's going to cause conflict. And it's going to cause division, even in our own families. What's important to remember, I think, when we read that those tough words of Jesus about coming to bring division and a sword, it's important to remember that simply causing division and conflict is not a sign of holiness, okay? Any self-serving idiot can cause conflict. Giving offense is not a sign of faithfulness, necessarily. But it is also true that the church that makes every effort, or the Christian who makes every effort to avoid conflict, is almost always unsuccessful and never grows spiritually or in its ministry or our ministry. Simply avoiding conflict or confusing quiet with peace, that's not a sign of faithfulness either. That's not good either. So, conflict and division may or may not be a sign of the truth of the gospel. Christian conflict management author, a fellow by the name of Speed Lees, wrote, "It is not possible for a church to be tension-free while being simultaneously faithful to all aspects of the law and the gospel." It's not possible to be faithful and also be tension-free. Even so, Jesus' words here about bringing a sword and conflict in families, those are words that are hard to hear. I don't know about you, but the Jesus that I like is the Jesus who comes to earth to bring peace and reconciliation, not a sword or division. But not unlike Ethan Hunt, whose missions are always do or die, disciples of Jesus Christ must be willing to let go of the security, the approval, and the blessing of the powers of this world, if we are ever to have any chance at real peace or real life. Jesus here doesn't give us any instructions that sound like, "Hey guys, y'all just take your time," or "wade into the shallow end, see what the water feels like." Instead, Jesus' call here is to total and complete immersion, trusting that when we jump into the deep, that God will hold us up. And you know what? It turns out that the work of the kingdom of heaven is controversial and subversive to a world that thinks that they are in charge. It turns out that the disciple who thinks that he or she is going to glide through life without ever having to risk anything of significance is either deluded and naive or is not following Jesus. Turns out that unless we accept this seemingly impossible mission, we cannot receive or have real eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, it turns out that the gospel of the kingdom of heaven really is a threat to the kingdoms of this world when they believe that they are ultimate. Turns out that it really does matter for eternity who or what we choose to serve. Turns out that a proper fear of God is not something that we anymore can afford to skirt or minimize, but in fact, a holy fear of God is the surest way to be able to see ourselves and the world in which we live clearly. Turns out, this holy, fearsome God is also known for intimate, eternal love and love for us. Turns out that we cannot be a disciple of Jesus without having to settle the question for ourselves about who we really trust to secure us and to save us. Do we really trust the power of guns and armies, or our wealth and power? Or do we really trust the God who set the sun in the heavens, holds every single sparrow in the palm of his hand, and knows how many hairs are on our heads? The affirmation of faith that is in the bulletin today that I chose is a portion of a statement of faith, the title of which is The Confession of Belhar. It was written in the 1980s by the Black African Dutch Reformed Mission Church in South Africa, as they struggled as a church to witness to the freedom and the life of the gospel. The Christians in South Africa who wrote the Confession of Belhar were in the midst of living out their freedom in Christ precisely by resisting the entrenched racism of the laws of apartheid that legislated the separation of the races in South Africa from 1948 to 1994. Think about that. The Confession of Belhar, and particularly the portion that we will read today, matches Jesus's Mission Impossible, both in its clear affirmation of God's ultimate judgment, God's unbounded love, and God's unlimited claim on our lives. You see, our God is not a God of either mercy or justice, but a God of both. Our God is not a God of either love or judgment, but a God of both. And if we are to know life, we must decide to love God, to love neighbor, to love self with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, letting the chips fall where they may. It feels a lot like an impossible mission, and it would be so if it were not for the God who created the universe and who knows how many hairs are on our heads that is sending us on this mission. What we need, Scripture says, will be provided when we accept this mission with our whole hearts. And when we are willing to let go of what we have always held to so tightly, that which we believe keeps us safe and secure and alive, only then are our hands open enough to be able to receive the eternal life that God gives. This is our mission, should we choose to accept it. May God have mercy on us and assure us again today of God's intimate and unbounded love for us. May it be so. Come, Lord Jesus, come.